Or we'll wait and see if the chart comes in.
Sometimes, if I have an understanding that the voice of the service, I don't think it's just felt like the signing of the
well, it's devotees in the motive, and it's mixed. It's what he calls mixed devotional service in the purport. All three cases, goodness, passion, and ignorance, there's really some motive, personal motive. The person when that first came out, remember that the third canto of Bhagavatam first came out, and the devotees began eyeing each other with a arched, assessing eye to see whether each other was in goodness, passion, or ignorance. And somebody I heard brought this question up to Prabhupada, and he said that all my disciples are pure devotees. That's what he said. Which seemed to test your faith in the spiritual master. The evidence was to the contrary. But I understood that statement to be true if we take the word as my disciples as being those who are actually following Prabhupada. Because actually, even if you're in the conditioned state and you very strictly follow the spiritual master, then you're performing pure devotional service. It's when there begins to be deviation from that order that it becomes contaminated and mixed. Yeah, yeah. And even in the mode of goodness, one is following for subtle reasons of liberation and things like that, which is considered okay in the early stages, but afterwards you should not really care what's the result of your devotional service. You do it simply because you love Krishna. So we saw in this three modes of material nature is organized like this. It starts out with Krishna telling us that he's going to explain something which, if we understand, we can actually become liberated. And then he begins by discussing the total material nature, and that he is the seed-giving father of all the living entities put into that. And then he says material nature consists of three modes. When the eternal living entity comes into contact with nature, he becomes conditioned by these modes. And then Krishna launches into a discussion of first the general characteristics of the three modes, what they condition you to, what their manifestations are, what the destination is, what the result is, what develops out of it, what the next birth is. And then, yeah, those are the things he discusses. And then Arjuna asks, how do you know if somebody's... And then he says, if you become free from these modes, then you're liberated. And then Arjuna says, well, how do I know? How do we know when somebody's free from the modes? And Krishna says, well, this is his characteristics, this is his behavior toward other people, and this is how he does it. Because Arjuna also asked that. How does he, what are his qualities, what's his behavior, and how does he do it? So Krishna answers those three questions in the chapter. So it's a real simple structure to it. And we see in this chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Part 5, three modes of nature and beyond. similar things done. This is chapter 25. And it also discusses devotional service, by the way, in the three modes and other things within the three modes. And it also discusses those things when they're transcendental. It discusses dwelling places, for example. To live in a forest is in the mode of goodness. To live in a gramya, grama means like town or village, is the mode of passion. And where do you live if you're in the mode of ignorance? Well, it says gambling house, casino. You know, and Prabhupada said this means all kinds of places, bars, gambling houses, brothels, any nasty place like that in the mode of ignorance. And then he says, but if you live in a temple, then it's transcendental. And so on. So he discusses like that. And then he also discusses how one becomes free from the three modes of material nature. And that's that chapter. So anyway, I wanted to just start by discussing the mode of ignorance. Because the idea is to get some kind of feel for these. Start at the beginning. I said we're going to mostly focus on ignorance. Of course, we're going to have to look at the others, too, to isolate ignorance from goodness and passion, or to speak of transcendence. But you can see that the general condition of material existence is one of ignorance. It says it's born of ignorance, ajnanaja. That's its general nature, ajnanaja. It's born of ignorance, and he calls it mohanam sarvadehina, the delusion of all embodied living entities. So you can see it's all pervading. Anyone who has a idea of separation from Krishna is somehow or other got a tinge of the mode of the of ignorance. So he says it binds or conditions the embodied soul by, what is that? Three things: insanity. Now this word insanity is pramada, which means distraction of the mind, illusion, things like that. Indolence, that is to say, laziness, procrastination, so on. And sleep, nidra. So this is the psychological type. This is from Prabhupada's purport. He said, happy, active, and helpless. There are three kinds. He says, the hack is pretty good, huh? Happy, active, and helpless. So those who are helpless, this one is in the mode of ignorance. His nature is, oh, I can't do anything. It never works out. Nothing I try, it's not worth doing. It's everywhere I turn, there's just obstacles. Anyway, there's no meaning anyway to life. So how can I do anything? These are all signs of the mode of ignorance. Huh? From the 11th chapter, the general character of the person is he falls into lamentation and illusion, sleeps successfully, indulges in false hopes, and displays violence to others. This is the general character of a person. Falls into lamentation is always somebody who's just always lamenting, morose, pessimism, hopelessness. These are all symptoms in the mode of ignorance. So lamentation and illusion. People in the mode of ignorance, they never have it quite right. You know, they always got a version of things that's quite opposite, actually, of what they actually are. Usually, we'll see later, when we look at in the mode of ignorance, we look at understanding of buddhi is that a person in the mode of goodness here means the faculty of discrimination. A person in the mode of goodness can always discriminate religion from irreligion accurately. A person in the mode of passion can't tell them apart. And a person in the mode of ignorance inevitably takes irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion. Always just the opposite of what they actually are. So the illusion is there. Sleeps excessively. Prabhupada says, of course, more than 6 hours is generally in their mode of... people in their mode of ignorance like to sleep. They enjoy it. I once knew some people before I was a devotee. And their idea of a good weekend was to take sleeping pills. They would take, these downers, drugs that make you go to sleep. And they'd take them Friday night, and they would get up Monday morning. How was your week?
Great, man. I really sweat.
The whole thing in life was just oblivion. Indulges in false hopes. What does this mean? Any day, my number is going to come in. I'm going to win the raise. I'm going to win the lottery. I'm just lay around, nothing, but somehow or other something's going to happen. There's false hopes. That's always a characteristic of one in the mode of ignorance. Doesn't do anything, but is always thinking that, one day my number will come up. Or this will happen, or that will happen. Displays violence to others. Violence, we'll start to see, is a general characteristic of the mode of ignorance. That people are very passive, lazy, and indolent, but can very quickly turn into anger and become violent. Then it spins out and they collapse again. The typical behavior of somebody in the mode of ignorance is a drunk. Things happen when people get drunk. First of all, they sleep. That's one sign. They really get sleepy. They get morose and lament. They're sitting in the bar crying, all the time. Have to listen to them go on and on. And the third thing they do is they get violent without any reason. Just completely just turn into a rage. Generally, of course, intoxication is in the mode of ignorance. But you see this violence toward others always... And a rage is there. This is another thing from the purport. His work gives satisfaction to. In the mode of goodness, a person is satisfied with his work. His work he takes satisfaction just in the work. A person in the mode of passion, he doesn't like his work so much, but they tend to be charitable. And so their work gives satisfaction to other people. But those in the mode of ignorance, their work doesn't make them happy, doesn't make anybody else happy. Everyone is people in the mode of ignorance as employees. They break things. They're late. They're never on time. They're not reliable. They're slow. I'll just read you a problem. He explains what it is, actually, why people in the mode of passion indulge in charity. Because, let me just read it. That's at 419. Yeah, it's to display their magnanimity. A man in the mode of passion may be engaged in fruitive activity. He owns as much as he can and spends for good causes. Sometimes he tries to open hospitals, give to charity institutions, etc. These are signs of one in the mode of passion. So, for example, the representative type of the mode of passion is a kshatriya. So they're magnanimous by nature. So one in the mode of passion, they're charitable. They give. It's when you get the Vaishya thing, that's when they want infinite riches and little rooms. They don't like to give any of it up. They're constipated when it comes to giving. They just want to collect. And then miserliness is a sign of the mode of ignorance. So Whereas passion, they do it, for their prestige, for their honor, for their fame, they got their name up on there, the Rosenfeld undergraduate this, everything, labels on everything. That's quite true. So this is what he said. A person of motive goodness is satisfied by his work or intellectual pursuit. They like their work. Motive passion is working very hard, but at least other people benefit by their charity. They leave everything in Carnegie Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, all this other stuff. And the mode of ignorance, whatever one does is good neither for him nor for anyone. That's it. He says nobody's satisfied. Doesn't do good for himself, doesn't do good for anybody else. So then the particular manifestations, he says, darkness, inertia, madness, and illusion are the manifestations. Inertia, inertia means you just can't get up, you can't get going. One of the manifestations is madness. Yeah, but whether a person in the mode of goodness is happy doing his work, he's like a mathematician. If somebody figures out how to use his mathematics for somebody else, they like it. It's some practical benefit, all the better. But if nobody likes it, he still does his work. He's into it. So they're not doing it for anything except just to enjoy the work. Well, we're not saying it's. But generally, worker in the mode of goodness, people do benefit by them. But it's not even that they're out to benefit anybody else necessarily. Yeah, of course it's selfish. So then the mental and physical symptoms, right? Here it is. Mode of ignorance, the failure and disappearance of higher awareness. Chittam, it says consciousness in the Sanskrit there, and I think that Sanskrit says that there's a failure and disappearance of consciousness. In other words, consciousness gradually becomes darker and darker and darker, with a consequent inability to concentrate attention. And the mind is ruined and manifests ignorance and depression. These are fairly well recognized. As we see in society, what happens is that the mode of ignorance is on the increase. It's especially, of course, helped by taking intoxicants, which more than anything else. And television also, which is kind of an intoxicant. People who watch television, this short attention span is a sign of the mode of ignorance. People's attention span gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And then, of course, depression. Depression is, in the United States, the number one mental illness. And people are medicated up to the gills in order to get through the day with various kinds of antidepressive drugs. There's a sense of hopelessness and helplessness that people have. Now, from this Bhagavatam, we get a list of qualities that are characteristic, which I've put the Sanskrit in without the diacritic marks here. So you can see what they are. Intolerant anger. I mean, it's not what happened is of course, I was hoping Gopi would be here since he's the one that did these translations. But the Sanskrit is krodha. But obviously they went to the commentaries and gave a more full explanation of what this means. Krodha is intolerant anger. It's the ability to fly into rage. Then stinginess. This is a characteristic. I said speaking without scriptural authority is called false speech in the word for word. Anrittam, untruthfulness. Violent hatred, himsa, living as a parasite of begging, yachna. This is parasitical existence, begging existence. Unnecessarily being on welfare, unnecessarily being, dependent. All these are signs of the mold of ignorance. Hypocrisy, dumba, bluffing. This word comes up all the time. Klamaha, chronic fatigue. Oh, I'm always tired. Everywhere, I'm tired all the time. It's always a quarrel. That's the Kali, that is the age of Kali. Orally quarreling and fighting. Lamentation and delusion. Depression. Unhappiness and also false humility. Sleeping too much. False expectations. Again, that's the same thing as we had in the Bhagavad Gita. False hopes. False expectations. In the mode of ignorance, one cannot make plans. This plan making never gets beyond, big plans to talk and talk and talk. You see the guys will sit in their bars and they'll outline endless schemes for making money. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. This is going to happen, that's going to happen. We'll get together, we'll make a band, we'll do this, we'll publish this, we'll do and then nothing ever happens. Nobody can get off the couch. For all of us have experienced fear is a sign of the mode of ignorance. Paranoia. They're out to get me. People in the mode of ignorance are always talking about they. I can't do anything because of them. They're doing this, they're doing that, they're controlling this, they're doing that. If it weren't for them, I could be this. If it weren't for them, I could be that. And then laziness. Procrastination. So this is the general qualities that when you see a cluster of these qualities, there it is. There's the mode of ignorance. Now, Prabhupada attributes to anyone the reluctance to engage in spiritual life is a sign of the mode of ignorance. That's laziness. When people in Kali Yuga are lazy, it means that they're not interested in any kind of spiritual development. But then when they are, they're misguided. But so this laziness, the general reluctance to take up spiritual life is generally a sign of the modes of ignorance. The result of ignorance is foolishness and nonsense. One becomes more and more stupid. And in the purport there, by the way, Prabhupada talks about animal killing as being specifically being an activity of the mode of ignorance. The example of foolishness. Because there's no knowledge at all. And then he talks about the products. What develops out of them, that is to say. So knowledge develops out of goodness, greed out of passion, and out of what develops out of ignorance is insanity. Foolishness, madness, illusion. And enough time spent in the mold of ignorance, you gradually become starker than that. So those in the mold of ignorance are frequently ghostly haunted. And exhibit symptoms of insanity. This is because one thing is from the frequent use of intoxication, the subtle body becomes wide open to being ghostly haunted, and people develop these kinds of disturbances. So then it talks about where they go. The direction of their evolution is either described as for the mode of ignorance is either downward to the hellish worlds or into the animal species of life.
Or lower.
It also mentions stones and trees. Those are really in the mode of ignorance take birth as stones and trees. Yeah. Well, yeah, because what you eat in the mode of ignorance makes you sick. Also, you're lazy, don't exercise. You're couch potato. So generally, in the mode of ignorance, there's disease because of an extremely unhealthy diet, because of the taking, the overuse of indulgence and intoxication. And also just laziness, lack of exercise, and anything like that. So the disease are there. Actually, also, you see a lot of disease in the mode of passion, too. Different diseases. And only in the mode of goodness, really, when a person sets away the mode of goodness, diseases tend to disappear because of a healthy diet and lack of mental distress, anxiety, and so on. So, anyway, so they go down to lower planets or to animal species or lower. Now, if we turn to page 3, then there are various things in the three modes. So, faith, in the Bhagavad Gita, faith is described in terms of the object of the worship of ghosts and spirits. This also you see. Quite frequently in people in the mode of ignorance. So you associate it with tribal people where they worship ghosts and spirits. You see it in tantra, some forms of tantra. You see it in witchcraft, in Santeria, in voodoo, all these things which are actually increasing very much even in modern sophisticated Western countries, is that people are more and more getting into this kind of worship of ghosts and spirits. This business of channeling and all this other kind of stuff is very dangerous and is practiced by people in the mode of ignorance. In the Bhagavatam, faith is also described according to its location in one's life, either directed towards spiritual life, rooted in fruitive activities, or residing in irreligious activities. Now, one general thing that you will see is that people in the mode of passion are described as they're performing their activities still according to scriptural injunctions. Because you'll see that people in the mode of passion take birth again among human beings. When there's activity that's contrary, even though it's passionate, if it's strictly the mode of passion, they follow scriptural injunctions. And therefore, at least they take birth among human beings. As soon as there's avoidance of scriptural injunctions, then it's down. You go to, and that's ignorance. So the mode of ignorance is avoiding scriptural injunctions, residing in irreligious activity. Whereas the mode of passion, one's faith may be rooted in fruitive work, but it's not exactly irreligious. It's material activity. It's not spiritual activity, but it's not irreligious. So you'll see that the mode of passion, even, is relatively rare. Without any, the pure type of the passionate person is a kshatriya. And Prabhupada's diagnosis of the West is almost all shudras, a few vaishyas, no kshatriyas, no brahmanas. So even somebody who's the pure type of a passionate person, you don't even see that anymore. Somebody had a question? Yeah.
I
Well, Prabhupada talked, when he mentions this, he talks about somebody in Calcutta used to make offerings to Hitler. He made a big profit in World War II, and so he attributed his good fortune to Hitler. So he worshipped Hitler. So that's what it's, that's all he mentions there. Whereas those in the mode of goodness, they worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship demons. So you do see that people, you know, they just tore down in the Soviet Union all these statues of Lenin, Dzerzhinsky, and particularly in the Soviet Union, Lenin was an icon. I mean, he was an object of worship. His samadhi was there. People went and viewed it. I mean, he was definitely a holy object. So there was, and you see in the China how Mao Zedong was worshipped. They don't call it worship, their faith, but that's who they worship. So we can see that the known demons. So also when people like Hiranyakashipu, there was Hiranyakashipu puja. It was definitely being done. It says Narada Muni did it. And he was there. He was always, Narada Muni is always anyway. Then we get to so that's. That's what happens in the mode of passion. People worship, they're attracted to demons. We see that you'll see there's lower than the demons. Demons are looked at and worshipped, and empowered by the mode of passion. But the mode of ignorance empowers rakshasas. And those in the mode of passion worship demons. Those in the mode of ignorance is even lower than the demons. People like rakshasas, ghosts, spirits, and so on. Yep, Mara. Yeah, there would be some mixture in there. Right. Yeah. So then we come to the topic of foodstuffs. So the first characteristic of food in the mode of ignorance is that it's old, prepared over 3 hours prior to being consumed. That means almost everything in cans, frozen, dried, almost all fast foods are old foods. So they're old. Tasteless, you know. That's definitely anything, you know, that comes out like that, airplane food, prison food, institutional food, college dorm food, it's tasteless. Apparently all cardboard. Decomposed, pure, anything over 3 hours old is decomposed anyway. Prabhupada said that frozen things actually decompose, even though they're not supposed to. There's some decomposition that takes place. Anything that's meat is allowed to decompose, otherwise you couldn't eat it at all. So they put it, I don't know what they call it, season it or something like that. It has to rot. In fact, that stuff people sprinkle on meat called meat tenderizer, it just rots it. So it has to be rotten. Putrid, consisting of remnants and untouchable things. So all those things that are that have a stench to them, Limburger cheese and so on, that people like. Anything with decayed, rotten, like that. It would seem so. It would seem so. I don't know what... in India, they don't use cheese. You know, they use paneer. this modern, you know, cheese thing that we make all our pizzas with and everything like that. I've wondered about that, whether that actually, yeah. Well, it takes a little while to go into that. But some things are aged a little bit. Yogurt's aged, and that's not considered an abode of ignorance. So I'm not quite sure. Some cheese, of course, is deliberately gets, you know, moldy, and various bacteria is allowed to act on it to make it rather, you know, certain flavor, right? But other cheeses don't seem to have that that sort of nature. But that's why the best thing is fresh, you know, paneer, this curd that you make right away. Yeah. Prasadam is an exception. Once it's been offered to Krishna, it can be present. Only apparently gets old. So the Prabhupada specifically says in the purport, this does not apply to prasadam. The Bhagavatam just mentions that it's unclean and causes distress. And that's all it mentions about that. Then a sacrifice, yajna. Again, you see, in the mode of passion, it doesn't mention that whether or not just perform for material benefit, but ignorance, perform without regard for scriptural directions. You know, you just make it up as you go along. Well, if you can't do this, we can't do that. That's all right, doesn't matter. You know, plain thing, just whatever you do. Without the distribution of prasad, without Vedic mantras, without priestly remuneration, and without faith. You wonder why it happens at all at that point. Or what it actually is. But anyway, those are the sacrifice that's performed in the mode of ignorance. It's just a mess that you just make up and do, just to fool yourself. Whereas then the next one is tapas, austerity. It mentions in the Gita there's a threefold austerity of body, mind, and speech, and they're described, and they said the austerities are in three: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So austerity and ignorance is executed out of foolishness, involving self-torture or the aim of destroying or injuring others. So there's the real element that you see with austerity. It may involve that business, self-torture, you know, sacrificing pieces of your own flesh, you know, things that are really horrendously damaging to the body and the mind. And with the aim of destroying or injuring others. So you want to gain power or perform something so you can curse somebody else. If that's your aim, and that's austerity in the mode of ignorance. Yeah.
Can you explain the connection between destroying or injuring others and
Well, sometimes, I don't know what curses are exactly part of the Vedic process. If you are performing austerity, someone performs austerity and becomes powerful and then, like, curses somebody, then that curse is effective. That doesn't mean that the austerity wasn't performed in order to be able to curse effectively. It's just a side effect. And anyway, if they're real devotees like Narada Muni, their curses are benedictions anyway. They don't cause harm to anyone. But when you really want to perform, you know, I'm going to now fast for 48 hours. And there's always rumors in ISKCON that various devotees hire tantrics to curse their enemies. I just read in Vedic Village Review, Nityananda Prabhu is attributing some attribute to the fact that he got busted by the IRS and everybody to the that the GBC hired tantrics and cursed him. So this is always these rumors going around that people are doing this. But if you perform austerity for that business of gaining power over other to injure them or destroy them, all my enemies will be destroyed, and so on. This is very typical. People who worship ghosts and spirits and engage in that kind of stuff, most often it's with the intent of doing harm. It's because they had a spirit of revenge or something like that. Not something that in general rule you need. You know, and you're right, you're dealing with dangerous stuff. Anyway, so that's austerity in the mode of ignorance. Charity, dunam, given at an impure place, at improper time, to an unworthy